gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Here's a sad little story about my life for you that you'll enjoy, Chris.
What?
You know how where we do the radio show here in Burbank?
Yes.
Where I do MSNBC is right there. You
right.
can see it right there.
I
did the Ed Show last night.
You could throw a rock and hit it.
Yes, and as you know, the Ed Show way past my bedtime now.
Yes.
So I literally last night thought, maybe I'll just come sleep in the studio rather than going all the way home.
You
so you would have
that.
Found me face ground on a heating grate like you normally do. Sleeping in
only
here.
Only in Burbank, not...
Yeah, I was like, I don't know, should I go all the way home? Maybe I'll just sleep in the studio. And because, you know, I'm an elderly single... shut in,
yes,
and I just go
are.
Back and forth between radio studio and then back home to my box of wine, and that's it, and that's my life. Sad little child. Thank God I have a sexy liberal to prop me up, because it's Friday.
Are you having a party or something?
Non-stop.
Oh, and remember, Friday is...
Fridays with Fugles.
Hello,
and
baby.
You can't sleep in the studio. Your giant mastodon dogs would have to feed on all the drifters you've got chained to the radio.
Yeah.
True.
Why do you pick up all those hitchhikers if you can't be there to watch your dogs torture them? Come on.
I don't know.
It's total black snake moan at your place.
Chain some hobos to the radiator.
It is black snake moan. And she walks around dressed like that, too.
Yeah.
Good morning, John Fiegel, saying live, all three,
morning.
Live all 3 hours in the New York studio.
Whether you like it or not. Yes, good morning.
And, of course, I will see you tomorrow in Madison, Wisconsin, ladies and gentlemen, for the launch of the world tour, Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show starring.
Madison, Wisconsin, we're expecting people to be communing with Satan.
Yeah, perfect for Easter weekend. We're going to be with the Satan worshippers for Easter. Woo!
It's going to be fantastic. I'm so excited. The show's... I think there's still a few tickets left for the late show, I believe.
Yeah, very few. We're just so excited. I don't even know what to say. Me and Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang will be in Madison tomorrow for two. I think they're almost both sold out. The first one definitely, and the second one just very few tickets. Go to BarrymoreLive.com.
That's right.
We cannot wait to see you. We have Mayor Paul of Madison coming up, John Nichols, who hopefully, I'm hoping they'll all be there, and then Cecile Richards of Planned Parenthood, all on the big show
brilliant.
Today.
Yep.
Kids, I've been trying to get this woman on a comedy tour for years, and it's finally
Cecile
happening.
Richards?
Yeah, Cecile
Richards,
man.
Funny.
She's funny. I mean, Steph, you'd be a great warm-up for her, because her stuff, Cecile Richards, my God, the impressions and the bird calls. And, oh, her Christopher Walken's insane, guys. You got to see that.
Oh, with the whoopee cushion with her.
Oh,
she's
great. Her
all
airline
right.
material, my God.
No, she was just named one of Time Magazine's most influential people. I am the fart show comedian that will be in Madison tomorrow. All right.
I got our antecedents mixed up.
All right.
Sorry.
Okay, John and I can't wait. This is the exciting news. Okay, this is officially the tour conservatives do not want you to see.
Yes.
Yeah, we're made.
I couldn't wait to tell this story. Okay, so for some reason,
like Bono,
when liberals...
They're trying to shut us down. They're trying to shut us down.
Wait till you hear this letter.
By the way, we're all going to be on the same plane going into Madison. You, me, and Hal. We're all... Mm-hmm. And the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I mean, if we survive, it'd be great press for the kickoff of the show. But if the plane goes, you know...
There's another player here that we need to set up for you to tell the story.
Okay, well, yeah, but let me explain. So, anyway, this is just hilarious. For some reason, it makes right-wingers' head explode when liberals succeed at capitalism. Because the tour hasn't even started.
Yeah.
But we're sold out everywhere. There's, you know, Facebook pages popping up. It's insane, which we're just thrilled, and it's heartwarming. And I, as you know, for me, totally unexpected. But
it only took 3 years to twist your arm into doing it.
So right-wingers, apparently. So Roland, who is our tour director.
Yes.
Roland's my old agent from William Morris years ago, and now he books acts around the country. And
he's doing
guy.
A fantastic job.
He's doing
job.
A killer job. But
a great guy. Like, we went to dinner at his house the other night. Just the sweetest guy in the world.
He sent me a picture of his dog listening. His dog listens to the radio show every day. Just is mesmerized by the sound of my voice.
You'd like his dog, even though his dog is dog size, so you might not like it. But
anyway, so, but he's welcome to our world. People have been calling him screaming, Sexy Liberal Show sucks, screw you, like hanging up.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yesterday, so he sends me this letter. It says, and I guess we shouldn't say who it's from, may not be his real name anyway. Someone tried to bribe him
to stop booking the show.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Roland, I know you from your reputation, your booking days at William Morris. I think you're making a mistake in working on this sexy liberal tour. It's not worth your time and efforts. Your time is worth more. I know someone who will pay you $10,000 if you stop booking the show immediately.
Wow.
Reply to this email. Let me know if you're interested. And then somebody signed a name, a friend. A friend trying to save Roland from himself.
How thoughtful of that friend.
That's really sweet. That's very kind.
So really, this is officially...
what a thoughtful bribe.
It's our first bribe.
Yes. It's the tour that conservatives don't want you to see.
Yeah, we've... Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've I guess we've made it. The show hasn't even started yet. And
they're already trying to shut it down.
Crazy. They're going crazy. All right.
It's brilliant. I can't believe it. He called me last night. I got out of doing a benefit, and I got this message from him that someone had asked to pay him to drop the tour. It's unreal. We haven't even had our first show. We don't even have material. Folks, it's not a good show. We're not funny. We come out there and look at each other for 3 hours.
I haven't even spilled Chardonnay on the napkin I'm going to write the thing on. What the hell? Calm down, everybody.
I'm pretty much doing, Gallagher routines from the 80s. That's
all
I got.
Yeah, bring your tarp.
Yeah. Rick Overton was here yesterday. I'm going to steal his act like everyone else does.
Mm-hmm.
So,
like everyone else does indeed.
Yes. All right. So let's see here. We've got, what do you call it? Syracuse, Saturday, May 14th.
Yep.
Minneapolis, Saturday, June 18th.
Yep.
Boston, Saturday, June 16th. You can go to Ticketmaster for all of those. Shano's done with the Boston promo.
Progressives of Boston. Does your heart yearn for Stephanie Miller?
Please come to Boston.
Well, weep no longer, because the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show World Tour is coming to Boston, Massachusetts, the city Michelle Bachman calls the home of the Liberty Bell. On July 18th at the Wilbur Theater, renew the spirit of the original Tea Party with the comic brilliance of John Fugelsang, Al Sparks, and Mama herself, Stephanie Miller. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com, by calling Ticketmaster at 800-745-3000, or by going to the Wilbur Theater box office at 246 Tremont Street in Boston's historic theater district.
I can see Boston from my house.
Progressive fans, this is your teabagger cure to the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show in Boston.
This calls for a sexy party.
Get sexy, huh?
Yeah, get your sexy eyes. Get your sexy on, Boston. All right. Wow, Shano's awesome. I did Shano's radio show yesterday.
Yes,
Yes, and I'm giving him a manicure and a pedicure later. And And Danielle, a bikini wax, his significant other. Because,
I only had to get bone marrow.
Edie writes, hi, guys. As I strolled down Tremont Avenue yesterday morning, Stephanie smiled down at me from the Wilbur Theater marquee. I bought my ticket yesterday.
Awesome.
Edie, not the one on your show. Oh, it was not Edie McClure, because that would be weird if she were.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Traveling down Tremont.
Yeah, John, that's what Roland said is making people crazy, because apparently we're playing the high-end venues.
Yes,
the big
expected
seats
us.
In the theater district.
And all that, yes, and that's making them... Yeah.
They expected us to play in the comedy clubs where they shoot the snuff films at night.
Exactly.
You know the comedy clubs, I mean, where you just feel like there's two guys in pig masks and a chainsaw with a drifter waiting to shoot a film as soon as we leave?
Yes.
Like, no, we're going to nice places.
Because, as you know, there's no audience for liberal ideas of any kind, which is why Al Franken's books were such bad sellers. And apparently, though Randy Rhodes and Ed Scholz and Tom Hartman and Bill Preston and I have been doing radio successfully for, 25 years, apparently there's also no audience for liberal radio.
Well, it's sort of like the blue-collar tour for people who are smart and moral and have decent taste in music. So I think that's a really good thing that we're bringing. And
it's the opposite of the redneck comedy tour,
there's lots of people out there who live in the middle of this beautiful country, and they like Jon Stewart, and they like Bill Maher, and they'd settle for us.
Yep.
So what we're going to do is, bring the comedy to them, because there's all this great material that we can't do in the clubs that pay. So we want to bring it to you.
Yeah, thank you.
And we may have an announcement of another city.
I'll get to that. Tracy writes, I'm so excited, just got tickets from Minnesota. I'm from Western North Dakota. That's about 600 miles from me. I'm considering that this is my upcoming divorce reward. If there's any laying on of hands religious action, that would be for the ecclesiastical move.
Sure.
Maybe Steph can make me become a lesbian. I don't. Well, we haven't decided yet on religious ceremonies, have we, John? You'd be in charge of that.
Yes,
you?
I would.
I don't know if they'll be meet and gropes. I don't know if they'll be laying on of hands or anything, but I'll do my best.
I have a lesbian induction ceremony, but it involves me being there, so I'll explain that later on. That's for the special
tour
package.
Oh, by the way, Kevin has a question about the sexy liberal comedy tour. Steph, I've been thinking about getting tickets to the tour, but wondering if it will be strictly lesbian-oriented, or will heterosexuals possibly find it entertaining as well?
Oh, man. Just because I look
Kevin,
like Katie Lang.
I think everyone... Listen,
it'll be completely lesbian-oriented.
That's why I'm bringing two hot straight guys.
I'm wearing Birkenstocks.
All right. Yes, Kevin, I think you'll find something in there that you can laugh at. All right. Chris in Durham, North Carolina. How interesting. Sexy liberal tour would rock in Durham, North Carolina. Steph, how about showing us some love here in Durham, North Carolina? Just about the entire county of Durham votes Democrat. Can't get much better than that. Okay, so does nearby Chapel Hill and Carrboro. But we need your liberal. Please throw us a bone. We need to throw him a bone. He needs the info. He's the boss.
We'll throw him 2.5, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. I'm the boss.
What an interesting
need
idea.
Needs the info.
Yes, needs the info about North Carolina. You know what? I'd listen Monday if I were you.
Yeah.
We're going to go to North Carolina. We're going to go to Chicago. We're going to go to all the cities Howard Dean mentioned.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good summer, kid.
Yeah. All right. I'd pay attention. I think there might be an announcement along those lines very, very shortly.
Post-haste.
Oh, aren't I a teasy McTeaserson? All right. Paul in Omaha, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Paul.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I suppose I heard the letter. I suppose this means friends don't let friends book sexy liberals.
That's right. That's right. It's the tour that they don't want you to see. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, big, big show, lots to get to. John Ensign, got to talk about that. So much to talk about.
What a loss.
As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Thank God it's Friday, Friday, Friday,
Friday.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show in the midst of Fridays with Fugelsang, John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau all 3 hours. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the right free button, type in the promo code Stephanie. Promo code is Stephanie.
Yep.
All right. Oh, and John, you had a good idea in the GoToMeeting yesterday because as we've been talking about, this sexy liberal tour is kind of getting ahead of us. There's already been all these, merchandising. We've got to do T-shirts. And
You got merch?
Apparently.
There's merch designs going back and forth and meetings and emails and yes.
Yes, wow. The sexy liberal elves are working on things that we have no idea. But I think you had a good idea. You said you insist that everything be manufactured by imprisoned children in China.
I'm glad you got that memo. Yeah, I really do think just to underscore the importance of how important American labor is, we should save a lot of money by doing cheap stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can make a point that way and save cash. I want to thank John Ensign, by the way. Finally, a Republican created one new job.
Yeah.
Whee! Thank you, John Ensign. Can I just say, are you kidding me? He's stepping down and now because he's worried about his family. So now when he's just tipping someone in someone else's family and having his mommy and daddy pay off now I'm worried about my family. You know what? It just occurred to me, I really care about my family. I need to spend more time with my family instead of stooping someone else's family.
But, like, Mom, Dad, can't you pay off my family, too?
Now that I've destroyed someone else's family, I realize that I should focus more on destroying mine. I think it's what I need full time.
It's like a decent proposal. If I let John Ensign have my wife for a weekend, will his parents give me $1 million? It's like if in Nisa's proposal, Robert Redford had his mommy and daddy pay off Woody Harrelson. Exactly what happened.
Yes, John Ensign announced he will resign. Well, you know what it is. It's just because it was going to be a public ethics investigation. All this stuff was going to come out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's the reason. Oh, please. I'm doing it for my family.
He's going to avoid shame and jail time.
God.
Because, right, once he drops out, no one's going to care anymore about his malfeasance and the family.
I can no longer subject my family to this. He said, while I stand behind my firm belief, I have not violated any law, rule, or standard of conduct in the Senate. No. And I fought to prove this publicly. I will not continue to subject my family, my constituents, or the Senate to any further rounds of investigations, depositions, drawn-out proceedings, especially ones public hearings that could be very, very embarrassing to me.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
For my family. Oh, there it is. That's the third time in one statement. For my family and me, this continued personal cost is simply too great. However, had I kept it in my pants in the first place, perhaps my family would be in much better shape.
And wasn't he,
wasn't he
one of the most hardcore family values candidates?
They always
of course.
Are.
Well, he's with the family, with those, with the, that creepy Christian group. That's
no,
Christian
exactly. Father. He lives in a place called
the
family. By the family. That's
Cosa
how you
Nostra
know.
Was taken.
That's exactly. That's how you know it's family values.
Where
guy.
A bunch of men sleep together in one apartment.
Sure, in a family
and
way.
And discuss how to keep other men from sleeping together in marriage.
Right.
Exactly.
Awesome. And you know the saddest thing about it is, he was the guy who made Charlie Rangel look good.
Yes.
Oh, boy. All right. By the way, hi, Laris. Oh, as you know, John Fugel thing.
Yes.
He was, we kid, of course, about the imprisoned children in China. All of her stuff will be made in the USA and union made. Thank you very much.
Yes, union made, and it's all union shows with union labor.
We are going to join our union peeps, of course, in Madison to fight the good fight there. Some of the proceeds of the Sexy Liberal Show will be going to UnitedWisconsin.com, which is behind the recall, which, hello, is gathering steam.
Exactly right.
The recall against Walker and the Republican 8. So, I love this.
We're showing Republicans it's possible to have slightly less profits and help people.
Yeah, listen, they have, with the wrong badgers, do you know what I'm saying? This is, they have awakened the sleeping giant. Wisconsin recall organizers added three Democratic state senators. Did you see this story? Because the only reason they got those signatures, they were buying people shots.
Yeah.
They didn't even know what they were signing. Did you see the footage last night? What is this they're signing? It just, we'll buy you a shot. Just sign it. I don't know what it is.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Three Democratic state senators and one other Republican senator. We will talk to John Nichols about that, in fact. to the list of lawmakers in line for recall, blah, 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 blah. Mike Tate, the chairman of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, said the party would challenge the signatures on the conservatives' petitions. He said, I guarantee to the reporters on this call there will be fraudulent signatures turned in. Yeah, probably you can tell the ones that, you know, with tequila spilled on them.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I can't read this name. There's too much tequila spilled across it.
As opposed to the fraudulent campaign promises of the governor.
Yeah, exactly. He, I mean, that's the whole bottom line with that, John, is he did not run on this. He keeps trying to dance around it. Oh, yeah, No, you never said you were going to try to bust, you know, the whole point was to bust unions. I love how Dennis Kucinich just nailed him down. I mean, he got him to, in that hearing, to just say, how much money did you say? Well, nothing. I saved nothing at all. This had nothing to do with the...
Exactly.
I think as John Nichols has said, this is clear. It's a political ploy. It has nothing to do with the budget or with saving
money. It's completely about destroying the Democratic Party and destroying organized labor. Cops and firemen, you will be next, regardless of what the guy says right now. And
oh,
this is a
John,
guy who...
you missed a great right-wing caller this week. It's this thing about $250,000, that's not rich, really. And yet a teacher making $50,000 a year is a money-grubbing... You know,
money-grubbing bastard.
Yeah, money-grubbing bastard, and how dare you even ask for benefits? I mean, it makes no sense, their rhetoric. It really doesn't.
Look, I support raising the top rate to just millionaires. I mean, that's a good start for me, hey. But the first time I made $250,000 a year, I was thrilled to be paying higher taxes under Clinton. I thought it was a patriotic thing to do. But silly me.
Oh, you
I believe that Jesus crap.
You silly, sexy liberal. That's why God made you pretty.
Oh, 20... no.
29... God is a woman. He made men as pretty as Hal Sparks and John Fugel sang. Oh,
no,
I tell you
no,
what.
No.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Who the hell do you think you are?
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau for all 3 hours. Lynn in Texas. Hi, Lynn.
Hello. When you mentioned that John Ensign created a job by resigning, I wanted to make sure that we gave John Boehner credit for creating a job, too. Remember you hired Paul Clement from the Bush administration to go after the Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal.
DOMA, not Don't Ask, Don't Tell, after DOMA.
Right, that's right, DOMA. I'm sorry, you're correct.
Yeah, and do you know how much that's, by the way?
$500,000.
Yeah, do you know how much that's costing taxpayers to defend this ridiculous unconstitutional law? I mean, these are the fiscal conservatives. And by the way, you don't even have to hire lawyers. There's lawyers in the,
we have lawyers on retainer. They have lawyers on retainer.
I forget which department. I have the story somewhere. But, you know, that you don't have to hire an outside
government
top gun.
Government is full of lawyers.
Yes.
You don't need to hire outside lawyers.
Exactly.
Please.
And yet they do.
All right. Okay. Wow, we...
are we calm?
Julie sends me the new New York Times CBS poll. Mama, keywords from below. Nearly 60% of Republicans cannot point to a single candidate about whom they are enthusiastic. According... Oh, dear.
No, boy.
That's not all.
It's kind of a barren wasteland on the Republican side.
That poll also showed 47% of Republicans in New York Times poll believe that Barack Obama was not born in this country.
Man.
47%.
Man.
Keep wishing and it'll be true. Manifest it.
Yeah. Most people, to the tune of 80-90% of self-identified Republicans, have never even heard of the stunning prospects we hear bandied about so reverently by the Beltway media types. Maybe Republicans are lacking well-known, generally respected, popular Republican candidates ready to saddle up Victor the Victory Elephant and ride him all the way to the White House, because there aren't any well-known, generally respected, popular leaders left in the Republican Party. Yeah, remember that, Chris? We saw the sad little Victor the Victory Elephants in the half-off bin after the Republican
at the airport. They were,
Poor Victor.
Mm-hmm. They were kind of pawed over and had little fingerprints on them.
No.
Can we also point out the only thing the Tea Party's accomplished legislatively so far is extending tax cuts for millionaires?
Yeah.
That's all they've done. So keep it up, guys.
Yes. Julie says, look what they had to resort to last time. An old fighter pilot who frequently sat in the pie told angry little stories about cream corn and bees with nickels on them. That's Grampy. Poor Grampy.
Oh. We can't bust heads like we used to, but we have our ways.
Never.
One trick is to tell them stories that don't go anywhere. Like the time I caught the ferry over to Shelbyville.
All right, I've heard the Onion Belt story, Grampy. That's fine. Go sit in the pie. With less than a year to go before the Iowa caucuses, Republican voters have yet to form strong opinions about most of their presidential candidates for 2012. Nearly 60% of Republicans not point to a single candidate whom they are enthusiastic about. Eh. So, meanwhile, have you
seen... Go, Jeb.
Yeah, it's your birthday. Have you seen they're turning on Trump like angry junkyard dogs now?
Some are. Some are, some aren't. The GOP is being ripped apart by Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I keep waiting for them to just pull off the mask and it's Andy Kaufman. He's been alive and punking us for
30
years.
Have they opened Donald Trump's vault yet? Are his investigators done? What are we going to find in the birther vault?
Oh, he's got millions.
I said on Ed last night, I said that he's not going to just have egg on his face, John. He's going to have an entire omelet on top of whatever woodland creature currently serves as his hair. And then
Can we just come out and start saying that the birthers are an embarrassment to white people? Okay, as a Caucasian, I'm so... you know when black folks say white folks don't get it? This is the perfect example of this, because this is institutionalized racism. People aren't even thinking about it. These folks have never once asked a white politician to show their birth certificate.
Yeah.
And the fact that Michelle Bachmann thinks that Barack Obama has to do this, you know, this is America. He doesn't have to show you a damn thing.
No, you have to pay attention to the birther hokey pokey, John, because she has dipped her foot out of the birthers.
But she hasn't. She hasn't gotten out of the pool. She hasn't gotten out of the pool.
No, she on GMA, she took her foot out, and then Donald Trump put his in. Sarah Palin put hers in.
Yep.
Michelle
Bachmann. Trust me, she's still very much in the pool. Her people don't watch the Today Show. When she says it on Fox and Friends, I'll think she means it.
Yeah, a lot of Republicans now worried his flirtation with the presidential run hurts their chances to field a serious challenge. They see him as, a self-promoting publicity hound.
What?
And his bid is a stunt drawing more attention to himself. When has he ever done that?
Yeah, don't say.
What?
Oh, but it was so beautiful. He spoke to the Tea Party. I think it's so moving when the right people find each other.
But, John, you're right about the fact that he is playing to, you know, the polls show him getting a bounce from diving into the birther pool. I mean, because you're right, there is a large percentage of them that, I mean, it's terrifying. As somebody was playing a montage yesterday. Mm-hmm. He's Muslim. Like, you just can't talk to these people.
But you know what?
This his father in Kenya. It's like, what? Oh, my God. They just...
Yeah.
Thank God it happened in the digital age, because analog tapes don't last. They decompose. Digital is forever, folks. And kids will see this in history class 20, 30, 40 years down the road and realize how crazy racist people were in this time.
See, they're splitting even further now. I think the Republican side, Karl Rove, of course, you know, Club for Growth, all the, like, establishment.
Voice of reason, Karl Rove.
Right, but this is why I think Sarah Palin's on the Trump side, because this is what's happening. It's like the Republican establishment. You know, she makes as many snarky jokes now about them as she does the lamestream media. But, you know, but George Will, all the people that are sort of like reasonably sane, at least, you know, Republicans are, I think they're terrified by this Trump thing.
I think they are, too.
He led the field that I saw, 26%, followed by Huckabee at 17%, 15% for Romney. I mean, you know, it's...
Well, and Sarah Palin just pimped her website, if you've noticed, but she's really upgraded it to get new donations, and people are starting to think maybe she is going to run after all, and comedians can finally unclench.
Yes, I know.
Oh, I want to see her and Bachman in the cage match with Romney. Oh, it's beautiful. It's jazz.
No, for comedy, Trump staying in is just pure gold, for God's sakes.
Oh, it's fantastic. When Herman Cain is the same guy on the stage, it's going to be wonderful.
Oh, bring it, pizza man. Bring it, crazy birther pizza guy. So the other thing is, I mean, have you seen the footage of Paul Ryan getting booed in his own town hall? It's revenge of the town halls. Yeah, I love the headline is Republicans seek to reassure elderly on Medicare. How's that working out for ya? Republicans pushing deep cuts to government spending are seeking to reassure older Americans their health insurance will remain intact, even if Medicare is privatized. Elderly voters, of course, pivotal in the 2012 election. President Obama has proposed trims to the old age benefits while denouncing his radical Republican plan that would replace Medicare with vouchers, giving recipients a fixed amount of money to buy private insurance. Which won't actually cover it?
Right.
Exactly.
Pushing back,
here's
Republican lawmakers have been holding town halls across the country. I know, we can hear them. I can hear them from my house. This is what they're pushing. Medicare is unsustainable in its current form, and only their plan will guarantee future seniors access to health care.
Yeah, by having Medicare in another form.
Right. Republicans are betting that growing alarm over the deficit will make the public receptive to their proposal written by the budget monster, Paul Ryan.
If the Republican voters cared about deficits, Reagan wouldn't have had a second term.
Yeah, exactly. Dick Cheney famously said deficits don't matter.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Nixon was the last Republican president to balance a budget even once.
Well, I mean, the president's right. He was in this, the Facebook meeting he had. He said, I think it's fair to say their vision is radical. And it is. Mm-hmm. And people see it for what it is. He said, I don't think it's particularly courageous. I'm glad he took that on head on. I mean, because that really is more about the media.
Right.
Like, oh, this plan is bold and serious and fresh and courageous and whatever. Please. Nothing is easier than solving a problem on the backs of people who are poor or people who are powerless or don't have lobbyists or don't have clout. That's exactly right. That is the opposite of courage. That is cowardice.
Yep.
That's bullying.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, John, I'm sorry. Go ahead. You were saying.
Oh, no. All I have to say is, for all you atheists out there, if you don't believe in a God, how do you explain the fact that every time Paul Ryan goes on TV, Eddie Munster trends on Twitter? That's a loving God, folks.
I'm just saying. Yeah, and he had a fit at the town hall the other day. We
Isn't that wonderful, Eddie? Mm. I won't go! I won't!
Oh, cheap comedy. Cheap comedy.
the president yesterday.
I have to say that at the time, I cautioned people. I said, we may not get there in 1 year. We may not even get there in one term. It turns out that the climb was even steeper than some of us had anticipated. We took office in the middle of the worst recession in our lifetimes, one that left millions of Americans without jobs, hundreds of thousands of people without homes.
He was out here in L.A., you could tell, because of the traffic.
Oh, God.
But I love some of the stuff. I thought he was very funny and sort of candid about, you know, the his base and all that. Some more with the president.
Just as ignoring deficits would mortgage our future, failing to invest in our kids and our infrastructure and our basic research and clean energy, that would be mortgaging our future as well.
Thank you. Exactly. What's that?
Damn.
All right, one more of the president.
There's general agreement on the need to cut about $4 trillion over the medium term to hit our targets.
All right, and you know, and the right still playing politics, John, with the debt ceiling, you know, as if that's just something to, you know, to use as a threat. Jay Carney, the president's Carney.
Consequences of not of failing to raise the debt ceiling would be Armageddon-like in terms of the economy.
Yeah, this is a whole new breed of Republicans, John. This is they're taking that to hostage. They have never done that before, even under George. But think of how radical we thought the right was under George Bush.
Mm-hmm. Although George Bush called it Armageddon, so that's the one.
Yes, exactly.
It sounds like something that attacks Tokyo.
I love that movie Armageddon. You see that one?
He, as usual, put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. But the point is. But seriously, how many times have they, I can't remember, what, six, eight times they voted under Bush? Do you ever remember this being an issue? Did they ever say,
not. Oh,
we're holding this hostage and this is something you need to give us something for because, you know, or we won't vote to raise the debt ceiling? I'm telling you, this is just a whole new kind of crazy.
Because they've only cared about debt since January 21st, 2009. And that's the magic date. They've only cared about deficits for that long. And we have to keep telling our Republican friends, look at the history of your party. Why would you start believing them now after 40 years of the other thing.
Yep, exactly. 45 minutes after the hour, Right Wing World is next as we continue Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Mayor Paul from Madison, Wisconsin, coming up after the top of the hour. John Fugel's saying it's for you. Could you take out your organ, please? It's for the ecclesiastical MOOC. Joe in Philly. Hey, Steph. I was listening to my podcast, only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. You're discussing Trump's ridiculous claim that no one knew Obama as a kid. Next time a right-winger calls in and uses that, ask them what Jesus was doing between age 3 and 33. The Bible skips almost everything about his life between those ages. What was he up to? What is God hiding? People need to know.
What was he
the
doing?
The ecclesiastical MOOC should be able to confirm.
No one saw the guy. A couple of scribes. That's it.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Actually, Anne Rice wrote a great book about it.
You don't hear a lot about teen Jesus. A lot about baby Jesus.
No, there's one story about like 12-year-old Jesus. Anne Rice wrote has written two great books about it called Christ the Lord. After her husband died, she went through a resurgence of Roman Catholicism. She's since left the church because she doesn't like how they treat the women and the gays. But she's written two gorgeous books of a trilogy about Jesus's life. And it's like all the detail and imagination she put into the vampire books, only it's about a different guy who you drink his blood. So
yes.
I recommend
exactly.
it very highly.
Thank you. You know why you like vampire stories? Because you look like a vampire. You look like you could be
He does not.
Yeah.
Listen,
True
Chris,
Blood?
Don't listen.
He looks
I've always
like he
had...
could be in True Blood.
Well, I don't have
He's
the abs.
Disturbingly
for that.
Beautiful for a man.
Thank you. I am so pale that albinos call me honky. But
he's very pale and very handsome. He looks he could be cast in any of those.
Only the werewolves have abs in that show, though.
I am the vampire Johnny. I wasn't actually bit by one. I caught it from a toilet seat. But I'm still a vampire nonetheless.
Right.
It can
Speaking
happen.
Of terrifying places, let's dive into Right Wing World and see what's doing, shall we, kids? Here we go. all right. Oh, Rush Limbaugh. Gee, how did I know what his take would be on the Joanne Kloppenberg race in Wisconsin?
Miss Kloppenberg, why can't you just go away? That's the wrong reaction to have.
Of course.
Losing an election for the Democrats, that's just the first step.
Mm-hmm.
They factor that in. What's got them really peeved here is they had this one rigged.
Oh, what?
They don't lose elections that they rigged. They've lost this rigged election. That's got them really bamboozled.
Wait a minute. We stole the Kloppenberg race, so that's where the... I see.
Oh, so
and
the
we
7,
lost even
votes.
Though we cheated. I see.
The 7,000 votes that were found on a laptop of a Republican operative.
Yeah. I was just going to say, let's just only imagine for one second, John, if this had gone the other way and it was some, you know, Madison, precinct where, you know, a Democratic official just magically found a bunch of votes for Kloppenberg. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Imagine if it was someone who cared about working people who won. Oh, that'd be corrupt.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Sue in Milwaukee writes, Steph, the Kloppenberg recount, while the state will pick up the tab for the actual recount, I've heard her attorney attorney fees could reach a million. Donations are being accepted at KloppenbergForJustice.com. So, in fact, in honor of Rush, send Joanne Kloppenberg a couple of bucks. Okay, Glenn Beck on the radio.
You've got to teach your children. I feel compelled to tell you that it's like a vault door. Mm-hmm. You've got to put this inside of them so they know it. And the best way to teach is through example. It's got to go into you and your children and
what am I putting
seal
in my children?
That vault door. Because ground zero explosions are happening all over with Marxism.
Oh.
And you've got to put it into shelter to make sure it remains when the dust clears.
That should be your bedtime story for your kids. The Marxist ground zero explosions that are coming.
What does he want us to put into our children?
Do you think he tells his kids seriously like crazy conspiracy stories at bedtime?
That sounds kind of
incest-y. If a Marxist doesn't blow you up.
Yeah. He reads Bible stories like the well-intentioned but ultimately gullible Samaritan.
Oh, God.
He's locking our children
again
in a vault and putting something in them? What is he talking about? I don't like that story.
I don't. Must I have twice? I have to be on Joy Behar with him, and you have to put Andrew Breitbart in Right Wing World?
He's making the rounds.
Mm. How was it with him the other day?
Oh, it was
great. With our sweetie, Andrew.
It was great.
Yeah, did he melt down?
I did a sight gag, John. Did you see it? I was when the camera came to me, I was reading his book, and then I threw it over my... Andrew Breitbart.
Poor Andrew. Herman Cain and Alan West would win the Tea Party straw poll, and that would be an existential candidacy of epic proportion that would go straight at the Democrat media complex, and their heads would explode because they are invested. Their future is invested in laying down the claim that conservatives and Republicans are race-based. The left is race-based, and I think that the Tea Party, ironically, has the capability and the courage to take on that dependency mentality that has destroyed much of the black community.
Whoever said that the Republicans are race-based? We said they're aristocracy-based.
Yes, no, please bring on two crazy right-wing birther, completely unqualified black guy candidates. Bring it on! Bring it on! Bring on crazy pizza guy and crazy guy from Florida. Sure.
Yeah, just question that this guy, the brown guy with the funny name, isn't really American, and you never thought to question a white guy about the same thing, but we're making it race-based.
As Jim Ward has said many times during Michael Steele's disastrous reign, you do get that it's not just any black guy, right? All right, Andrea Tantaros.
If I were a senior, I would be extremely disturbed with what the president is proposing. He's actually proposing, panel, 15 bureaucrats, 15 government-appointed officials. Mm-hmm. This is these rationing boards
who
are going to make decisions about how to limit individual expenditures for Medicare patients.
What?
They're trying to recycle the death panels.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, bring back Breitbart. He made more sense than that.
But they're calling them rationing boards now.
Oh, I see. It's a little spin. Okay. Uh-huh. All right. Gretchen Carlson, Fox and Freaks.
Have those entitlement programs really made us a better nation?
Yes.
See, that would be my first question to the president.
Yes.
To just be able to say that we should make investments so they have a better future, well, has it made us have a better future,
Social
all those entitlement
security?
Programs?
Have Social they? Security?
I'm not sure.
Oh, my
I'm not
God,
sure.
These people. Talk about taking
First of
your
all,
blessings for granted.
Everybody keeps saying, John, it's driving me crazy, this entitlements. Guess what? We are entitled to it. We've paid into
we've
it
paid
our whole
into
lives.
It.
It's our money. What do you mean? It's like some kind of handout.
Yeah. But you have to understand, that way they can say entitlement reform, which sounds a lot better than screw you old people.
Yes, exactly. David Asman.
Asman.
On Fox News.
By the way, President born here? Yes? No?
I'll buy it, but I want to see the specific.
Okay.
It's just weird.
I'll buy it.
Racist.
He's the president of the United States. I'll take him at his word.
A-bomb, buy, sell, or hold. I know it's buy, sell, or hold, but I say ignore.
Okay. Ignore is kind of like hold, which is what I'm going to say. I want to see all the evidence.
It's just racist. I'm tired of making fun of these people. They are racist pigs. This man doesn't have to show you anything. Give me a break. It's America,
for God's sake. Ecclesiastical MOOC, I have a confession about God. I've spent Christmas with David Asman.
Did you make fun of his name? Because I'm not allowed to do that.
He's my good friend in New York. Who was my next-door neighbor when I lived in New York? It's her brother. I actually had last Christmas with him. He seems
that's very nice.
Brother.
That didn't come up.
No.
At Christmas, no. Oh, look at this, John. This is very nice from a right-winger. Since we're in right-wing world, I hope, and pray that your plane crashes.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, nice. My name is Mike. Thanks, Mike.
Is that all Mike had to say?
Kind of like a Buddy Holly kind of thing?
Yep, that's great. It.
Wow.
That's all he wants.
Nice.
Nice. Okay.
He'll be our big bopper.
All right. 58 minutes after the hour. Right back with Mayor Paul from Madison on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Woohoo! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, stephaniemiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can see us, you know, ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller.
That's right.
Voice deity Jim Ward is here. John Fugel sang all 3 hours in the New York Bureau. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Jim, you missed it. Someone just hoped and prayed that our plane goes down on the way to the Sexy Liberal Show, which is very nice.
Great.
Isn't that great?
Well, listen, with the air traffic controller situation, it might just, you know.
Thank you, Ronald Reagan.
Yes, I'm going to get to this because you'll love this. Mm-hmm. Hunter in Chicago writes, Steph, one of the reasons flight traffic controllers are falling asleep is because they're assigned to swing shifts, which force them to work when their body's crying for sleep. Maybe they wouldn't be forced to do this if they had collective bargaining and a union.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, they did in Ronald Reagan.
Yes.
And then I voted for him, and
first
it's my fault.
First thing he did was destroy Fatco.
Yes.
And let's not forget that after Reagan did that, the next 2 years were the worst years for airplane fatalities in our nation's history.
Coincidence.
Wasn't it right after that
Air Florida flight crashed into the icy Potomac? Remember that?
Yes.
Listen, if nobody's paying attention to the First Lady's plane, what are the chances my plane is going to get safely into Madison? I don't know. All right.
Delta 4927, you're clear to...
Clear to what? Clear to home?
Go around! Oh, God!
That's why we are coming in solidarity to hang with our union peeps this weekend.
As the battle for the survival of America's middle class enters the next stage, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show begins its world tour, bringing their fight to the heart of Scott Walker territory, Madison, Wisconsin.
Madison, Wisconsin, where we expect those people to be communing with Satan.
On April 23rd at the Barrymore Theater, see the unholy comedy trinity of John Fugelsang, the ecclesiastical mook, the rocker son, Hal Sparks, and the spirit of progressive talk radio, Mama herself, Stephanie Miller. To purchase tickets, go to BarrymoreLive.com or call 608-241-8633. Come be a part of the laughs and pure progressive inspiration. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. The Barrymore Theater, Madison, Wisconsin, April 23rd.
Tomorrow! It's tomorrow! There's only a few tickets left for the late show.
Oh, no.
You better book your flight. Okay.
Tomorrow.
That was great attention to detail, having that guitar chord be in the right key, too. That was
You noticed that. Isn't that nice? That's Shano, man.
Thank you, Shano. Shano's awesome.
We give Shano the good drugs.
We welcome Mayor Paul Soglin.
That's where they're going.
Madison, Wisconsin. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning.
Congratulations on your reelection. Now, you were mayor for the 70s, 80s, 90s. Now you're back.
Yes, I am, and most people, I hope, are happy about that.
Yeah, I'm told they are. Well, we could not be more excited about coming to Madison tomorrow.
Well, it's been miserable all week, believe me. It's been cold. We had snow and sleet 2 days ago. And the sun will shine here for you tomorrow.
We're going to bring you a little hot liberal lovin'. Yeah, listen, I grew up in Buffalo. You can't scare me with your whatever, your paltry little snowstorms. So give us the update, Mayor, on what's going on in Madison. I saw the footage last night. They've filed three recall petitions against Democrats, but most of them were smeared with tequila because apparently they... People didn't even know what they were signing. I mean,
we've got 3 recall petitions against Democrats. We've got 5 recall petitions about Republicans. We've got 3 more working against Republicans, and they've got 5 more working against Democrats. This is recall heaven.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we obviously, some of our proceeds tomorrow will go to UnitedWisconsin.com behind the recall of Walker and the Republican 8. You know, we're going to talk to John Nichols coming up in a little bit, but Mayor, we were talking to another expert yesterday, and, you know, people go, oh, gee, nothing ever comes of these recalls. But, I mean, there is some real significant stuff happening in Wisconsin. I mean, they got the, for the Republicans, they got those signatures way more than they needed in record time, right?
Yes, and it was, this is one of those instances where it's not a question of a few fringe elements going out there after a couple of these Republicans. This is going to be a real test for us as to whether or not we're going to change this from a protest into a real political movement. And at stake, of course, is control of one house of the state legislature, which has impacts on redistricting. It has impacts on Governor Walker's efforts to dissolve organized labor in our state, all sorts of consequences.
Well, Mayor, I think, you know, from what one of our political experts told us yesterday, they said they think there is a very, very real chance that Democrats will take back control of the legislature.
There is, and that's why this whole thing's so serious. This is why your being here tomorrow is going to help. But the main thing is there's a long-term lesson in it for all of us, and that has to do about sleeping at the wheel. And you know, we've seen the signs around the Capitol with the protests over the last couple of months and people holding up signs saying, I apologize, I didn't vote, or I apologize, I voted for Governor Walker. We have got to stay focused on this every single day of the year. There's just no question about it.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's exactly right. Is that, first of all, I mean, I know these are the biggest protests, bigger actually than the Vietnam War, right, in Madison?
By fivefold.
Wow.
The largest we had during Vietnam might have got to 15,000 to 20,000. You know, we've had days here well over 100,000.
Mayor, talk to me about the Kloppenburg recount, because this really seems significant. I mean, if you really want election integrity, no matter what side you're on, I mean, it seems to me there were far too many serious irregularities in this. I mean, can you imagine if this had happened the other way?
Oh, well. And actually, you know, this is a grim reminder of what happened in Florida back almost 8 years ago. But the thing about this recount, again, is what we're contending with here has been a national effort that's gone on for over a decade by these right-wing think tanks organizing in those states where you have election of the top judicial officers. And it's well outlined in an article written a number of years ago called The Robe Warriors. And the idea is this: if you can't control the legislature and the governor's office, control the state Supreme Court, where you can then undo anything that the progressives do, where you can then be conservative activist judges, and, for example, have a major impact on allowing corporations to contribute to campaigns.
Mayor, tell me, because we keep, you know, asking the question, those of us, you know, outside of Madison right now, in terms of the Kloppenburg recount, I mean, are they going to be forced in this recount to match up paper ballots to these, you know, votes that this Kathy Nicholas magically found in her personal laptop? I mean, is there going to be a way to prove or disprove that?
The answer, the quick answer is I don't know, but the fact is we will now be able to look at paper ballots, and I think John Nichols, when you speak with him later, will be able to go into more detail about it. The critical thing is this: this is not the first time in that particular county we've had these rather late revelations about finding votes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, curious that. She has quite the history of that. Mayor Paul, we cannot wait to see you tomorrow in Madison. Thanks so much for taking time, and congratulations on your re-election.
Great to see you. Take care. Bye.
All right, there he goes. Mayor Paul Soglin of Madison. David writes, staff, please, I think you need to make a trip to Seattle with the Sexy Liberal Show. I need a sexy liberal thong, and I'll show you a culvert. Show you a culvert, David.
Seattle. That could happen.
That's interesting. A lot of curious things that a lot of the sexy liberal elves may be working on. Yes. Julie in Seattle writes, Mama, planning ahead for the Sexy Liberal Show in Seattle, how many VIP tickets would I have to buy to have you and Hal look the other way while I slip John Fugelsang a roofie and drag him off?
Oh, God.
Oh.
I don't know. We'll come up with a number.
You may, madam.
Oh, boy. All right. Yeah, I have. Listen, I have a lot of friends that drool over you, John. It's kind of, you know.
Well, then they meet in person, and it's all over. So it's okay.
Although my friend Trish, a little slutty, she kind of goes back and forth between you and Lawrence O'Donnell. She listened to the Lawrence O'Donnell interview the other day. She just interviewed me. She goes, oh, heavy breathing. Oh, my God, he's so sexy. I had the interview. We actually talked to each other on the phone during Last Word, and then, like, we'll be like, okay, Lawrence is back on. I got to hang up. Okay, I'll call you in the next commercial.
Oh, my God. It's like you're watching American Idol.
It's like we're watching, like, Keith Partridge in the 70s. Oh, my God, Keith is back on. I got to go. Okay, I'll call you in.
I tried to make a reference from this century.
Shut up. I was making a reference from the last time I had a crush on a man like that.
I see. Okay.
So she's an unfaithful virtual slut groupie, is what you're saying to me. Crush.
Fine American Aaron, staff, when in Monterey, I listened on my way to work every day. Since moving to Asia, I rarely get to listen live. A podcast four and a half a year in advance. Gling. Okay. I almost myself when I heard that you're going to be in Minneapolis, my hometown. I looked into plane tickets to see if I might be able to make a trip back to the States. Unfortunately, my wife vetoed that idea. Oh, that cheap biatch. In lieu of my attending the show, because I couldn't think of a better birthday gift, I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning to purchase tickets for my sister and her boyfriend.
Aww.
I really wish I could make it. Are you guys planning on touring Seoul or Tokyo? Well, that may be a little bit, down the road.
How are your numbers in Tokyo?
I'm not really sure how I'm doing.
How's the podcast doing in Korea?
I don't really know.
I'm sure they love us in Korea with the Kim Jong-il.
North Korea, yes.
Oh, yes, we have a request that we'll do a little later.
Oh, boy.
But, you know, we've been having fun with Sarah Palin audio all week. Because she was screeching in Madison last weekend, and it really is not.
By fun, you mean getting a tooth drilled without Novocaine.
Yes. And so we've slowed it down for people and sped it up, and just ways to make it more tolerable. Dan in San Diego, right, Steph, you and the Mooks have mentioned things that Sarah Palin's screech reminds you of, such as a bicycle being cut by a bandsaw. I'd like to add my 2 cents. It reminds me of Edith Bunker. That's true. Yeah.
And to do when you were there.
Oh, watching!
18 minutes after the hour.
Welcome to the mainstream media!
Talking about last century.
Holy cow.
Happy more Fridays at Fugle Sling. John Nichols coming up in just a few on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number up the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Ooh, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. Hey, it's Stu from the Mike 92.1 FM, our fabulous station in Madison,
Stu.
Wisconsin. Hey, Stu.
Hey, kids. How you doing?
We're so excited. We just don't know what to do with ourselves.
Well, let me tell you, I want to make a reference not to the past century, but four and a half centuries ago to tell you how auspicious your event in Madison tomorrow is going to be. The fact that you are starting in Madison on the traditional birthday of William Shakespeare.
Really?
Oh.
It is an it's also the day he died, but it's also the traditional day that he celebrates his, or is recognized as Shakespeare's birthday. And here's the John Fugelsang connection. The Barrymore Theater is where Bob Dylan, the modern Shakespeare, rehearsed for 3 nights before starting his Midwest tour in 2009.
Wow.
I knew that. I did know that.
The stage that Bob Dylan was on but 2 years ago. How about that, John?
Wow.
Well, and like William Shakespeare and Bob Dylan, we're going to steal all our material, too. So it's very exciting.
There you go. Plagiarize. Let no one else's work evade your eyes. Why do you think the good Lord made your eyes? Don't shade your eyes. plagiarized, but plagiarized.
Now exactly. We're bringing the class with a K. Yeah, the fart jokes are coming to the Barrymore.
And speaking of the Wicked Witch of the West, Sarah Palin, just yes. Think about this. More people will pay good money to see you guys tomorrow night than came to see Sarah Palin for free at the Wisconsin State Capitol last Saturday.
That warms my heart.
Mm-hmm. But less will see us than came to boo Sarah Palin.
Than saw her for free.
Yeah. Well, I know. We've been so just heartened by, apparently, the Barrymore told us, I think we were the fastest selling non-music show in their history or something.
Mm-hmm.
So
we were.
We just, God, we love us some Madison, Wisconsin. We can't wait to get there.
This is where we wanted this tour. Stu, I've been working on Steph to do this for years, and we just thought this would be the perfect place to begin this tour. And on Easter Sunday weekend, to celebrate the resurrection of the American labor movement, no less. So our metaphors are popping out all over.
Yeah, exactly.
And it is the historic Barrymore Theater on the fabulous East Side. I mean, this theater's been around for over 80 years, so there's been a lot of non-musical events. So you're the fastest in over an 80-year history.
80 Aww. Years? My God, Steph, well, you were in high school.
Oh, shut up, John Peterson, you bastard. Stu, it's interesting. We were just talking during the break that someone had sent us, that we're getting the most requests from Miami, where we don't have a station anymore. And, but we had a station that we did very well on. What they replaced us with a sports station that does not show up at all in the ratings anymore. And so we got to thank our friends at the Mike 92.1 FM because you guys have been fabulous partners, in general and for this show. And it makes a huge difference.
Well, when you've got people carrying the flag, when we've got people like you who we get the privilege to carry, it's as they say, it's a win-win situation.
Well, here's the interesting thing about us starting here, John, like you're saying. It's just, this is why we're coming to stand with the people in Madison, because they stood with us. You know this story, Stu, that they were going to flip format. And there was such an outcry in Madison, got in the New York Times. To their credit, the fine folks at Clear Channel there changed their mind and, got great salespeople and we're doing great now. And it means so much to us. And it's because all the people in Madison supported us so much. So we're coming to support you and to hang and as you know, give some of the proceeds to UnitedWisconsin.com. So we're thrilled. And God knows what's going to happen at the Late Show, Stu. I don't listen. What happens in Madison stays in Madison, if you know what I'm saying, people.
Not in the age of YouTube and Twitter.
Oh, I know, right? I was going to do this whole Michael Richards thing, but I'm afraid to now. And Stu, I had a very good time on your show last week. Thank you for having me.
It was a real pleasure, and we're looking forward to seeing you tomorrow night. I think I'm going to get the opportunity to welcome you to the theater and welcome the folks. And,
awesome.
Are you going to be the sacrificial lamb? Are you the guy who's going to open us?
I believe so.
All right.
Okay.
Hey.
It's our opening act.
See you tomorrow, Stu.
We'll see you tomorrow.
All right. There we go.
Stu Levitan.
Yeah, we have some amazing radio partners, I have to say, in Syracuse and Ithaca and Janet Robert in Minneapolis.
And the Revolution,
people were waiting
Boston.
In line. In Boston. Oh, my God. All right. Jesse in Iowa says, Mama on the Move says, you may know Queen Elizabeth turned 85 yesterday.
Ew.
I wonder if she has any thoughts on the matter she'd like to share. Maybe Kim Jong-il could sing a happy birthday to her.
As has been noised about in the press, we celebrated our 85th birthday yesterday. As you can imagine, the party involved the services of many athletic young men dancing in the nude, waving their naughty bits in our royal countenance. Suffice to say, there were more than candles being blown on, and we are, yes, delightfully and thoroughly amused. Oh, I also got a call from Kim Jong-il.
Oh, Queen Elizabeth. You know, as communists are supposed to hate the kings and queens. But I like you, Queen Elizabeth, because you are quilf. I think you know
quilf?
What I'm talking about.
Oh.
You are cougar. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, Queen Elizabeth, and the rest of the aristocracy, too. That no one's supposed to hate. Hey, save me a piece of Zaganut cake. Get out!
Zaganut cake? That sounds good.
What's in a Zagnut? Have they sold Zagnuts since 1930?
Probably nothing that occurs in
What's
nature.
In nougat? We don't even know these things. I don't even know when life begins or ends, people.
In honor of the launch of the world tour of the Sexy Liberal Show, I have a guest quote. Who said if by liberal they mean someone who looks ahead and not behind, someone who welcomes new ideas without rigid reactions, someone who cares about the welfare of the people, their health, their housing, their schools, their jobs, their civil rights, and their civil liberties, somebody who believes we can break through the stalemate and suspicions that grip us in our policies abroad. This is what they mean by liberal. I'm proud to say I'm a liberal.
That would be you, John Fitzgerald Kennedy.
You're not supposed to ask.
Oh, you got
right.
It right.
Yeah.
I believe this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out.
You're not playing right.
Of landing a man on the moon and leaving him there to die, rather returning him safely to the Earth.
Era, I do believe, Era, that is one of the finest Kennedy impressions I have heard on this program.
Era.
It's almost good enough to be in the Era Kennedy miniseries on Era Reels channel.
Yeah, I don't think Greg Kinnear really... Barry Pepper does a very good
Barry Pepper, very good Bobby, but yes. Tom Wilkinson does a very good Australian accent. It's Joe Senior.
29 minutes yeah. After the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Cut the crapola, sister. It won't wash here.
Oh, well. 34 minutes after the hour. Oh, this just in. John, I got a letter from Swifty, my agent. That's.
Did he offer you $10,000 to drop the tour?
Did you hear that, Jim? Someone's trying to bribe our tour director to stop booking the Sexy Liberal tour. It's the show conservatives don't want you to see.
They went after Roland the Booker.
You hired him to do that.
I swear to God, it's real.
Swear to God. Yeah.
All right. Jim's going to read this. I got a letter from Swifty. Here we go.
Steffi, baby, this is your agent, Swifty. Babe, the northern leg of the Sexy Liberal Tour is shaping up gangbusters. I got you booked into Bemidji, Fergus Falls, and Hibbing. Duluth is a definite maybe. It's pretty much your line. It's pretty much the line of Buddy Holly played before he liked his odds better in a frozen Cessna.
Oh.
Dollface, the big rooms are off the reservation because you work blue. You could do yourself a solid favor, honey nut, if you ditched that potty mouth Fugel sang. Babe, the dude's a millstone. Sincerely, your agent Swifty at the Northern Talent Group Theatrical Bookings, live bait, most removal. P.S. Hey, what's with this false modesty about the least sexy liberal on the tour? You're top five by anybody's math. You strut that Xena outfit I picked out for you in Hedgesville Town. I keep telling you, Fanny Pack, you got the hams to make that work.
Okay, thanks, Swifty.
Wow.
That's Mark in Musselvania writing a little listener comedy.
I got to say, that millstone is what my agent calls me. I know you're in the odds are just...
All right. I can't believe we can get this guy. He's on
Actually,
every...
Actually, Fugazang is Danish for millstone, it turns out.
It's for benzoyl peroxide.
He's on every show everywhere, every time I turn on the TV. I can't believe we got him ourselves. John Nichols of The Nation magazine. Hey, John.
Hey, Stephanie Miller.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. You realize that, you know that in our household, Stephanie Miller is on all morning.
Oh,
wow.
John Nichols, and you're on...
You know the moops? You know the moops? My kid, when she gets in a fight, she's 7 years old, when she gets in a fight with her mom, she calls her mom a drug-addled right-wing gas bag. And it's only partially correct.
Oh, the little cherub. John, and you're on in my house all the time because you're on every show. You are the expert on everything that's going on. And it's hilarious. Every show I turn on, there's John Nichols.
Yeah.
I didn't think you'd have time for us.
Are you kidding? No, this is like the premier gig.
Are you coming out tomorrow night? We got a VIP ticket with your name on it.
Well, I don't think I'll be able to get through the National Guard that will be directing traffic outside.
John Nichols, I can't wait to see you. But talk to us about what's happening there, because, I mean, we're so thrilled to be kicking off the world tour there, and it was not by accident, because it really is the epicenter. Madison is the epicenter. Huh?
Yeah, it's a lot going on in Madison. And,
yeah.
Because you know, winters are slow in Madison, so we had to gin something up.
Sure.
Right? The last November,
sure.
Knowing that this was going to be an especially cold and dull winter,
yeah.
We held our noses and elected Scott Walker governor. And this was, you know, it turned out to be kind of a dumb move. You know, it's one of those things that you think is going to work out.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, he decides in February to basically eliminate labor unions and pretty much wipe out the middle class. I could go into more detail, but you get the point.
Yeah.
And
who knew there'd be any reaction to that?
You know, it's kind of crazy because, frankly, there hasn't been a lot of reaction to similar efforts elsewhere. But in Wisconsin, people like to do crazy things outside in winter. So we go out ice fishing and stuff like that. So it wasn't that big a leap to, you know, put 150,000 screaming people around the Capitol saying, kill the bill, and comparing Scott Walker to Hosni Mubarak.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean,
we had a pretty good spring, you know, pretty good late winter into spring.
So, John, talk to us about the recall movement. We're giving some of the proceeds to UnitedWisconsin.com, which is behind the recalls. But, I mean, from what I've heard, I mean, there's, you know, a lot of people tend to dismiss recalls, right? And as you've been writing, this is pretty real, right?
It's very real. And this is the thing to understand. Recalls are a tool put into state constitutions back during the progressive movement of a century ago. And those are the days when the robber barons, the rail magnates and everybody used to come in and use their wealth to buy politicians. And they would do it right after the election. They would give all the politicians railroad free tickets. They would give them free meals and everything. And suddenly, these folks who were elected to do good ended up being crooks. Mm-hmm. So the recall provision was, I know you've never heard of that. It hasn't happened since. But the provision was put in so that if somebody turned crooked or went bad, went awry during their term, you didn't have to wait till the next election. You could move immediately. Now, in Wisconsin, the recall hasn't been used all that often because we've had bad governors, but not really horrible ones until now. But when Governor Walker moved through this agenda, very anti-labor, but also a radical consolidation of power, giving him more authority than any governor of Wisconsin, perhaps any governor in America has ever had, there was a reaction. And this reaction has just been remarkable. So far, five recalls have been filed against Republican senators. And remember, these are all Republican senators who were elected in 2008. That's the way the cycle goes. So these are all Republicans who won in districts in a year when Barack Obama was sweeping the state. They're in very rural, tend to be quite rural, quite strongly Republican-leaning areas. And yet, the power of the recall has been amazing. You know, in most of these districts, they had to gather 13, 14,000 signatures to force a new election. Again and again, they've gathered as many as 10, 12,000 more signatures than were needed.
Wow.
I want to tell you something. It's working, and the most amazing part about it is that Democrats, who might previously have been a little cautious, are getting the point. They're seeing that there's this grassroots mobilization, that it's reaching into areas where, frankly, Democrats haven't done that well. You're seeing people, prison guards, county sheriff's deputies, folks who might have been considered more conservative, swinging over, becoming, you know, very passionate about this recall because their rights as workers are under attack.
Well,
candidates are stepping up, really good candidates to run.
John, you write that Alberta Darling, that's a big, big deal, you write, because she's a co-chair of the powerful Joint Finance Committee. So this is... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you'd like to go after her. I mean, in fact, I would really recommend reading up on Alberta Darling for your comedy routine because you don't get much better than this. Alberta Darling represents a suburban Milwaukee district that goes out, you know, north, a little north of the county as well. Her turf is really kind of old school moderate Republican turf. But to kind of keep her seat and to keep in good stead with the Tea Party, she swung hard to the right, and she is now Scott Walker's point person on his budget, which proposes to cut $1.6 billion out of education and public services in Wisconsin. So she's really, you know, she's sort of ground zero in this fight. And the fascinating thing is that they thought that they had redistricted her into a place where she couldn't face a tough race. As it happens, they have gotten way more than enough signatures.
Yep.
They've got great candidates stepping up, and I think it's going to be, you know, really the kind of test case, if you will, the one where everybody's going to be watching. If she gets beat, it's really a referendum on the governor's budget, and he will have lost.
John, my best impression tomorrow night will be people trying to get recall signatures, the drunken people trying to get recall signatures for the Democrats. What's going to happen with these? I mean, literally, there's footage on TV last night of people in bars.
Yeah.
But I'll buy you a shot if you sign this. And the people are like, what is it? Okay. I mean, there's solid accusations, you write, that petition signatures were obtained fraudulently and petitions circulated inappropriately.
Now, I want you to understand that in Wisconsin, You know, we have nothing against drinking.
Listen, don't we know it? Main reasons I love you.
And frankly, you know, there's no provision against drunken voting, as is quite obvious. So, you know, I don't want to be too... Yeah,
clearly many people that voted for Walker were drunk, but go ahead.
Well, liquored up a little, yeah. Well, hell, we voted Russ Feingold out. Come on.
Yeah.
So let's be absolutely clear that, you know, mixing liquor and politics is a fine Wisconsin tradition, but we generally don't like you to actually trade something of value, and believe me, we do value liquor in Wisconsin, for a signature on a petition. That's against the law.
Yep.
Because you're not supposed to do that. So that tape is a significant one, and I think the thing to understand is that when the Democratic recall effort started to really take off and gather tens of thousands of signatures, way over 150,000 people have signed Democratic-sponsored recall petitions against these Republican senators, the Republicans started to get very scared. And there were desperation moves. There's simply no question that they gathered signatures in bars, what the tape reveals. But there are also cases, incredibly enough, where up in Green Bay, they were going up to people on the street and saying, do you want to see your Democratic state senator, Mr. Hansen, on the ballot? And people say, yeah, I like Dave Hansen. I'll sign that petition to put him on the ballot.
Oh, well,
what they didn't realize was it was for a recall.
Yep.
Oh,
dirty tricks.
Wow.
Yep. Quickly, John, the Kloppenburg recount, that is obviously going to be paid for by the state. But, you know, we've already heard, you know, even in right-wing world, right-wing radio, everybody, of course, is going insane about it. But it seems like, I mean, that's some pretty provable irregularities that happened there.
There's simply no doubt. Look, you've got a county clerk in Waukesha County who 2 days after the election found the second biggest city in the county. And it turned out there were a lot of votes there, exactly the number of votes that her former boss, the conservative candidate for the court, needed to put himself in a dominant lead. So, look, just on that alone, there are incredible questions. It's going to be a great recount. We've got a sort of Catherine Harris figure. We've got a lot of grassroots people stepping up. And
with less makeup, though.
We know who that is.
Yeah.
Well, actually, if you've seen Kathy Nicholas, the county clerk there, I think there's a Harris makeup issue going on. I wouldn't rule it out.
And
I will tell you that, just so you know, you're appearing 1 week after the great defender of Kathy Nicholas appeared at our Capitol.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Sarah Palin.
So, you got Palin telling you know how to count votes.
We'll have less booze.
I understand people are still mopping the blood from their ears from her screeching in the square there.
You know the incredible thing? I want to tell you something, Stephanie. This is because you're going to get a big head here, so I don't want to
please
push this too far. But do you realize that when you're at the Barrymore Theater with those sold-out shows, you will have more people at your event than Sarah Palin and the whole Tea Party initiative got it at last Saturday's event at the Capitol.
Yeah, well,
so,
listen,
you're beating Palin in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I guess that's a compliment.
I'll beat her anywhere.
At least she was not received as badly as Paul Ryan has been received at his town halls.
Isn't that nice?
That was a giggle, John Nichols. You just giggled.
Well, see, I come from that district, so it's sort of amusing to us. You know, Paul Ryan has gotten a long way with an Eddie Munster haircut.
Yes.
And that, you know, he's sort of cute and cuddly, and everybody goes, I can't believe he would really take away our Medicare and Medicaid.
Yeah.
But it's starting to dawn on folks.
Yep.
And this is an interesting thing with politicians. If you cover politics, politicians who've had an easy ride, you know, they don't build up a thick skin. They're not ready for it when the hits start to come.
Yeah, he was just, but he's like, but look at how big my blue eyes are. What? Yeah. Why are you yelling at me?
I'm a serious guy with a serious plan. It's in all the papers.
Isn't that wonderful, Eddie? I won't go!
I won't preserve Medicare. I won't.
John Nichols, we'll see you tomorrow night, honey. Thanks so much for taking time for us.
I'm pretty sure Liney's makes a breakfast beer. I think we do.
John Nichols of the Nation. All right. 47 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Fridays with Fuglesang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Yeah.
Stephanie Miller.
Party, dance everybody, make it hot in this party. Don't stop, move your body. Rock this party, dance everybody, make it hot in this party.
That's a catchy melody.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Mike and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hi. You guys want to know what makes Madison so unique? First, you can turn on the radio and listen to our great mayor, Paul Soglin, who in my estimation is Madison. Then you get one of our greatest historians when it comes to culture and entertainment, who's Stu Levitin, followed up by the greatest reporter in the nation, Jim Nichols. And then you can go to the square, walk around, and probably bump into them, maybe have a cup of coffee, shake their hand, and have a conversation.
Yep.
That's what makes Madison so beautiful.
Yep, absolutely. Can't wait to see you, baby.
See you tomorrow.
Okay, bye. All right.
Oh, we're going to Madison? I thought it was Milwaukee.
Oh, God bless America, no, John. You know what
nice
it's going to cost to change that ticket at the last minute? You're going on a Greyhound. All right, so let's go to Keith in Wisconsin. Hi, Keith.
Not the bus, the actual dome.
John, that's a great point. When the hell is Stephanie coming to Milwaukee? We are starving out here for good radio.
How far a drive is it?
No, it's 90 miles. But
get in the car.
We'll do another show. To Chicago.
You should. But I'm not just talking about you being at some location, but being on the darn radio here in Milwaukee.
No, we got to go to Milwaukee because I had one of the best sets of my life. The only time I ever got a standing ovation as an opening act was at the university. In Milwaukee, and I love the audiences there, and it's just wonderful.
We're good crowds, by the way. I just got you on my Twitter, so that's cool.
Awesome. Well, Keith, get busy and get me a station. Why are you talking to me?
Well, you know what? That's exactly what we're doing. So we're gonna try to get you up, Steph.
All right, baby.
You know, I wanted to point something out. Unfortunately, I can't go to your show tomorrow night because my wife is taking me to a Brewer game, but.
Whatever.
I wanted to point out.
Oh, how often do those happen?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Well, every time I
once in a lifetime, sexy liberal show.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think she's upset enough that I talked to you too much on the phone. But the thing I want to point out is not only are you going to draw more people at the Barrymore stuff, but you probably come much cheaper than Sarah Palin. So
just a little. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you get more for your money with Stephanie Miller than you do Sarah Palin.
Yeah, you get live sex acts. All right. What did I say?
Huh? What?
Huh?
What?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
She'll pay you.
Yeah. Hello. this is for you, Ecclesiastical Mook, by the way. This is Blaine in Western Kansas. I used to be Republican, but I got so tired that I had to hate people with AIDS, gays, Mexicans, Muslims, feminists, Democrats, commies, Jews, black people. Oh, except those living in Israel. That's
of course.
Black people, elitists, professors, the unemployed, single mothers, Woodrow Wilson, socialists, etc. And then on Sundays, the gospel would tell me... And then on Sunday, the gospel would tell me not to hate anyone. The whole thing wore me out, and I decided to go with Jesus, and I left the Republicans behind. Blaine and Pastor. Aw.
Exactly. Which is not to say Jesus would be a Democrat, but my goodness.
But Jesus would be a Democrat.
You know, peaceful, radical, nonviolent revolutionary, hung out with lepers, hookers, and crooks, never spoke English, wasn't an American citizen, anti-capitalism, anti-death penalty, anti-public prayer, never anti-gay, didn't mention abortion, long-haired, brown-skinned, homeless, Middle Eastern Jew. That's Jesus.
He se llama Jesus.
He's the ecclesiastical FedEx guy. He can get more ecclesiastical facts. And all right. One quick one here. Dawn in Detroit. Hi, Dawn.
Hi, Steph.
Hello.
Actually, I live south of Detroit in Gibraltar on the Detroit River, but I'm pissed at you. You go everywhere. You never come to Detroit. You never bring a show to Detroit. I want you to bring John Fugelsang, and I want you to bring all of your whole crew to Detroit.
Well,
we're starving
all
here.
All right. Listen, you don't know what the sexy liberal... You don't know what the sexy liberal elves are working on. We're working on things. You just wait there, Missy. Don't get
because you know what? We need you here. We got rallies going on, protests.
Listen, don't get your panties in a Motor City Twist. We'll work on it. We'll be there. Don't you
worry.
The
elves have carpal tunnel from all the emails they're sending back and forth about this tour.
Yeah,
and we may have an announcement on Monday about something a little bit down south.
Almost sure we'll have an announcement on Monday. Mm-hmm. And by the way, noon today, Eastern time, ladies and gentlemen.
Progressives of Boston. Does your heart yearn for Stephanie Miller?
Please come to Boston.
Well, weep no longer, because the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show World Tour is coming to Boston, Massachusetts, the city Michelle Bachman calls the home of the Liberty Bell. On July 18th, at the Wilbur Theater, renew the spirit of the original Tea Party with the comic brilliance of John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and Mama herself, Stephanie Miller. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com, by calling Ticketmaster at 800-745-3000, or by going to the Wilbur Theater box office at 246 Tremont Street in Boston's historic theater district.
I can see Boston from my house.
Progressive fans, this is your teabagger cure to the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show in Boston.
This calls for a sexy party.
Get sexy on.
Yeah, get your sexy on, Boston. All right. Jim Ward, let's complete our for the launch of the Sexy Liberal Show. Who said for liberalism is not so much a party creed or a set of fixed platform promises as it is an attitude of mind and heart? A faith in man's ability through the experiences of his reason and judgment to increase for himself and his fellow men the amount of justice and freedom and brotherhood which all human life deserves.
Nathan Bedford Once. Forrest.
Gotta be Overman.
John F. Kennedy said that.
Oh. I should have taken a clue from the original
era. I liked him in that era miniseries on the Reels channel there.
Right wing.
You guys got to watch the Kennedy
Let
thing.
Me say
it's
this about that.
Yeah.
Right wing hit piece. All right. It's
funny.
Let me say, I have nothing against the dairy industry, but in the future, I prefer we stick to coleslaw.
58 minutes after the hour. Right back with the remaining hour of Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour, StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there, executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice Deedee, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau. Jim, I have one final round of guest quote for the launch of the Sexy Liberal Show tomorrow in Madison. Here we go. Liberalism is our best and only hope in the world today, for the liberal society is a free society, and it is at the same time, and for that reason, a strong society. Its strength is drawn from the will of a free people committed to great ends and peacefully striving to meet them. Only liberalism, in short, can repair our national power, restore our national purpose, and liberate our national energies. And the only basic issue in the 1960s... Oh, that gives it away. 1960 campaign is whether our government will fall in a conservative rut and die
Nixon,
there.
Nixon.
Shush. Or whether we will move ahead in the liberal spirit of daring, of breaking new ground, of doing in our generation what Woodrow Wilson and Franklin Roosevelt and Harry Truman and Adlai Stevenson did in their time of influence and responsibility for that.
George Lincoln Rockwell.
No. John F. Ike. Kennedy.
Oh, him again.
What it means to be a liberal. All right, coming up in a half an hour, named one of the most influential people in America by Time Magazine, Cecile Richards.
That's right.
Of president of Planned Parenthood.
No relation to Keith. And Ann Richards' daughter.
Oh.
Yes, no relation to Keith Richards.
No.
Yes, Governor Ann Richards' daughter.
Yes, right.
You're bloody amazing as she was, eh, right?
You stole my shepherd's pie.
All right, yes, why don't you interview her as Keith Richards?
That'd be great.
That'll be...
Can you have subtitles on the radio?
It'll make certain that I'll never get another Time Magazine most influential person ever. All right, maybe a few more tickets left for The Late Show tomorrow at BarrymoreLive.com for the world. It's the launch, John, of the...
It's 10 p.m. Come to The Late Show, folks. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to ring in Easter Eve.
There you go.
And there's going to be drinking.
Oh, heavens.
They'll be drinking, and we'll look for the bunny at midnight.
All right.
That's right. You're going to ring in East. You're going to ring in Easter.
Yes.
Yes.
And then we have the East Coast premiere of the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show coming up. Syracuse, May 14th. Minneapolis, Saturday, June 18th. Boston, Saturday, July 16th. Tickets go on sale at noon Eastern time in Boston.
If you didn't have the password to get your tickets before they went on sale,
exactly.
They go on sale for everybody in Boston today at noon at Ticketmaster.com.
Boston. City that broke my heart. My first girlfriend destroyed my heart in Boston.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm going for revenge.
I lived in Boston for 2 years.
All right. And other
I thought
cities,
you looked familiar.
Other cities, as Tom Brokaw says, are DeVal.
Including one down south that we may be.
Yes. I tune in Monday if
that's
I were
right.
You.
Is it a city with an L in it?
Exactly. Thank you.
No.
Thank you. Yes.
Well,
yes.
Okay, the first part of it is,
for the
yes.
love of God. Oh, for the love
what?
Of God. All right. John, this will help make things easier in Boston. Massachusetts Supreme Court. The smell of marijuana smoke is no longer enough reason for police to order someone out of a car now that pot has been decriminalized. So you can literally roll up in the Cheech and Chong car. Just roll the window down and they can't do anything.
You already know who the potheads are. Any car's going 4 miles an hour blasting Radiohead. Come on, it's not that much of a mystery.
All right. Mackenzie in Spokane, please consider bringing the Sexy Liberal Show to the Northwest. Oh, my goodness. The developing. Just stay tuned there.
Can I read you? Can you tell me who said this? Can I give you a quote?
Yes, please. Oh, sorry.
As mankind becomes more liberal, they will be more apt to allow that all those who conduct themselves as worthy members of the community are equally entitled to the protections of civil government. I hope ever to see America among the foremost nations of justice and liberality.
John Fitzgerald Kennedy.
No, it's obviously someone earlier than that.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Who?
Mr. George Washington.
Ah.
Wow.
Yes. The use of the word ever was a giveaway. It was a very 18th century formula.
Well, he wrote EVA like he's a high school kid.
Holly writes, Steph, please bring the Sexy Liberal Show to Dallas. Us poor sexy liberals in Texas are suffering under a third Perry term. Provide a place where sexy Texan liberals can unite. Debbie did Dallas, and so should you.
I think there's going to be a date announced very soon.
I think so, too.
Bertejas.
And Dolly.
Dean. Hi, Mama. How about reliving your homecoming? Sexy Liberal Show in Buffalo, New York. I'd love to be your homecoming date, blue frilly tux and all. My wife would be okay with the date, knowing there's no way I could get lucky with you. I turned my high school boyfriend gay, and he did wear a blue frilly tux.
I had a brown tux with sort of a cream-colored frilly shirt and a gigantic velour bow tie. Which I wore with black combat boots.
See, I went to the prom in 1987, and so that was the time of skinny ties and stuff like that. So I had nothing outsized.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I'm bringing skinny ties back.
I had a powder blue halter dress and an afro because my mom had given me a home perm.
Oh.
I will never forget the look on my boyfriend's face when I opened the door.
Wow.
He was trying to be nice. He was like, oh, it's, he said, wow, it's, ooh, it's big.
So he got his thing in his zipper on purpose.
To get out of the day.
And didn't you have like holes in your head from when your mom ripped out your?
I didn't have holes. I had little short hairs on my forehead because she ripped out the curler too soon on them. So I had like little hairs
perm.
That shot straight out. Yeah.
No.
And you know
I
what,
wore. A, go ahead.
And you know what she said?
What?
When I was like, Mom, what is this? And she said, oh dear, I had that when I was your age too.
She lied.
Oh, crap. You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinky, nasty sack of liquid crap.
I remember I was on the badminton team, and my my high school picture, my hair is bigger than the badminton racket. I looked like Link from Mod Squad.
I will pay cash money to someone from DeSales Catholic High School if you send us that picture from the yearbook.
I guess you didn't make the cut for the goodminton team.
No.
Oh, where's the pun jail?
In your Punjab.
And what were you pun jail. What did you wear, John?
What did I wear? Oh, it was horrible. I wore I really wanted to sleep with this girl. I wore a white tux with tails and a mauve cummerbund.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah, I wore mauve in the 80s.
Oh,
before
dear.
Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
You can tell you're straight because you don't pronounce it right. It's mauve, but all right.
Oh, it is mauve?
Yes.
Well, no, it actually is mauve.
Is it?
En français.
Yes, that's what the straight guy at the tux place called it.
All right. Gee, this is interesting. We were saying, Chris, you were saying the most requests we're getting is from Florida.
From South Florida.
Yes, where we don't have a station anymore because
the station was too successful, apparently.
Yes, and it needed to be replaced with a station that currently gets a zero in the ratings.
It gets negative ratings. I didn't think that was possible. But
yes.
It actually gives ratings to other stations.
Some enterprising radio executive might want to put a station back on in South Florida. Randy Rhodes is back there now. You know, just saying. Here's a guess the quote for you. Just interesting with the launch of the tour and all. Despite successful programs, Progressive Talks faces challenging obstacles in a feature story in the current edition of Talkers Magazine. They write about the state of Progressive Talk Radio in 2011. Although there are successful Progressive Talks hosts out there, Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, Ed Schultz, Bill Press, Alan Combs, Randy Rhodes, just to name several syndicated
personalities. You're at the top of the list.
Most agree the Air America saga did no favors for Progressive Talk. Who said that? You'll just get it wrong anyway, I'll just tell you. Mike Kanosian, who just wrote it.
You're at the top of the list.
Yes. Oh, here's a quote. Let's see. WID Media and Dial Global talk host Stephanie Miller takes strong issue with the assertion that progressive talk hosts are not succeeding. Dial Global is doing a spectacular job of selling our show. We just brought on Mercedes-Benz and have many other blue-chip advertisers. Yep. National advertisers have told me they've gotten better results for my show than a right-wing show that has about 250 more stations than I do. Right-wing shows have failed, but you never hear conservative radio doesn't work. Oh, who said that?
Mark Levin.
No.
Who's sarcastic and ultra-right-wing.
Yeah,
that was a good guess, though.
No, that's a good
guess,
though.
Yeah, boss, yeah. Anyone who knows Stephanie Miller, and there aren't many, knows she has no...
Mike Nelson in the New Talkers Magazine.
Why I wanna...
I ain't a wreck, eh? Mm.
We love Dial Global, by the way. They are so nice to me here in the New York Bureau.
Yes. I know. They're awesome.
Yeah. They show me where Steph hit all of the speed she forgot about in the studio, so I can stay awake the whole...
Is that your secret?
In my New York, what do we call it now? Trip.
Yes.
Yes, your New York sojourn.
The ill-advised trip.
This is very well-advised. I just couldn't get you out of the house.
Oh, looky here. Yeah. We're going to hang out.
How's that different from L.A., John?
I know. She had to stay in and watch her stories.
That's why I'm going on tour. They canceled my stories.
They canceled stories,
I know it. Two big soaps canceled. Gotta go now.
I think there are only four soap operas left.
I'm not counting this show.
Check this out. Going to hang with our union peeps tomorrow. Steve in Michigan writes, Dear Steph, greetings, Earthling, from a member of Liuna. He's a Liuna Republican. As a Republican union member and avid voter, the 2012 elections can't get here soon enough. We can't afford to elect any more Republicans who turn out to be, Tea Party sleeper agents determined to break the working class. These one-term suicide bombers know they have a golden parachute waiting on the other side. And given Governor Walker's giddy response to the fake Koch's party offer, I wouldn't rule out the 72 versions. Steve, are you a Republican? Oh, someone suggested we play Beaver Lick, John. Jeff in Salem, Massachusetts.
Oh, must you? I don't play
Jeff
it. I redefine
in,
it.
Jeff in Salem, Massachusetts. Steph, in case anyone's having a hard time finding Beaver Lick, it's easily found at the fork in the road. Jeff Louise!
The tour is off because of that joke.
But that was the original name of Albany.
I believe children are the future, and as you know, we talk
the
a lot about
capital.
The...
I believe the children are our future.
Jim and I discuss the Cialis commercial a lot, just because there's so much to...
Which one?
They're all just
If your acid trip lasts more than 4 hours.
Exactly. Here's a little...
You should get in a bathtub immediately.
Here's a cute story. Cialis story. This is from Sunny. I was at a friend's house and her 4-year-old came into the room asked how you would give a snake a pill. His mom, after clarifying there was no actual snake in the scenario, tried to find out why he would want to know how to give a snake a pill. You guessed it. He thought the commercial said reptile dysfunction.
Oh,
awesome.
I nearly shot Chardonnay out my nose. Oh.
That's got to be a kid who watches TV news, because that's where I go for all my erectile dysfunction commercials. We are the U.S. of ED, man. It's nothing but those other countries laugh at us when they see our news. My God.
Yeah.
Every American gets two claw tubs in the backyard.
17 minutes after the hour. Back with more Fridays with Buglesang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, president of Planned Parenthood. Time Magazine is one of the most influential people.
Yep.
Cecile Richards coming up at the bottom of the hour. Happy Earth Day, everybody.
Hey.
If it was happy, you wouldn't be playing New Kids on the Block. Okay. The Beatles weep every time you do this.
Camelia has sent some e-cards for me and the ecclesiastical MOOC. I wish more people cared about Earth as much as they cared about who they believe created it. Your birthday is a welcome opportunity to celebrate something in April unrelated to hideous biblical tragedies.
Well, and keep in mind, Revelation says that God will destroy the destroyers of the earth. So keep it up, polluters.
Great.
Yeah. Oh, and finally, let's help celebrating Earth Day. We'll convince the earth to stop trying to kill us for one day.
I declare Earth Day in the name of Mars.
Thank you.
Oh, Alan Keyes is here.
Karen in Madison. It's for you, Jim. Mm-hmm. Hi, Karen.
Oh, I just wanted to first wish you a lucky charm on your plane ride to Madison.
Oh, it's the same air traffic controller that takes care of the First Lady's flight, so it'll be fine.
Oh, okay. All right. Just to make it here intact.
Wasn't Buddy Holly heading for Madison?
Yes.
This is a conspiracy theory I wanted to run by Jim.
Okay.
And you might be familiar with this already. It is the connection of the Koch brothers' family fortune, which was gotten under Stalin in the 20s and 30s. And basically, the grandfather worked to train the engineers, communist engineers, in order to build the oil refineries. And he also trained some of the people there to run it. Okay, so there's Stalin and his philosophy of government, and from that point we go to the principles of the Tea Party's leaders, not necessarily the Tea Party members, and then that connects to the GOP and the kind of plan that they seem to be following in our country. And the principles for fascism are things like nationalism, disdain for human rights, identify an enemy, supremacy of the military, controlled mass media, obsession with social security, religion and government.
This is getting longer than a Glenn Beck conspiracy theory. All right.
Just a couple very important ones.
All right.
Corporate power is protected, labor power is suppressed,
yep.
And fraudulent elections.
Yep. Yep, check.
Fascism. That's,
yeah, exactly.
That's the definition of fascism what we have now.
Yeah.
The Stalin part I don't get. I don't understand.
Or as Mussolini called it, corporatism.
Yes, exactly. He did.
Yeah, so it's true. Josh in Madison. Hi, Josh.
Holy liberalgasm. How are you guys doing?
Ew. That's what Noam Chomsky has.
I was walking to work, actually. I was listening to you guys and heard John Nichols, who is a very nice guy in person, I might add.
Yes.
And I actually saw John Erfenbach on the way in and gave him a, hey, John, give him hell. I hope he's going to be there tomorrow at the Sexy Liberal Show at the Barrymore. I want to let you guys know that I'm a job creator here in Madison, and there's a tradition of bringing shots directly to the stage.
Oh,
and I
want to
bring some bartending jobs by ordering you guys, you know, stuff directly as you're speaking. And I'm wondering where to get hell, because he doesn't drink.
I don't know. Get him wheatgrass juice or something. I don't know.
Yeah, he'll do a shot of wheatgrass juice.
They probably have it, actually. It is Madison, after all.
Yeah, of course.
That's true.
One thing that will make my entire life.
Yes.
If you can mix up Bring Sexy Back with the Young Frankenstein Put the Candle Back, I would be so happy.
All right. Thank you, Josh.
Listen to me very carefully. Put the candle back.
That's funny. He's also a Young Frankenstein fan. Aficionado.
Listen to me very carefully. Put the candle back.
Absolutely. All right, the president...
Ovaltine.
Yes, get Hal a shot of Ovaltine tomorrow night.
Ovaltine.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Nothing, thank you.
The president talking about gas prices
the
yesterday.
Attorney General is putting together a team whose job it is to root out any cases of fraud or manipulation in the oil markets that might affect gas prices. And that
Good.
Includes the role of traders and speculators.
Yay.
We're going to make sure that nobody's taking advantage of American consumers.
Trader well, that's the guy I voted for.
Similar.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Did you hear him speaking last night? He was out here in L.A. But I thought he was funny, but he sort of, you know, hit it head on about it. He was getting huge laughs. He said, you know, he understands he's frustrated his core supporters at times.
Mm-hmm.
He said, everybody's a political consultant. He said, I know there are times you're sitting here and you're thinking, golly, you know, Obama's made some compromises with Republicans on this or that. You know, he should have done this way. You know, if he just phrased it that way, I'm sure we could have gotten health care done in 2 months. You know who I'm talking about. And then your friends come and say, oh, Obama's changed. I used to be excited. I still have a poster. He allowed. He gets frustrated, too. He said, I understand how you guys feel, but we knew this wouldn't be easy. We knew the journey like this, we were going to be setbacks. There were going to be detours. Anyway, I thought he was funny.
He's got to get the base, because the moderates are notoriously fickle.
Yeah.
I can't decide.
29 minutes after the hour, Cecile Richards of Planned Parenthood next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Welcome to my underground lair.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. I can't believe it. What are the chances that someone would come back on the show a second time?
I know.
Particularly after they've been named one of the world's 100 most influential people by Time magazine. But Cecile Richards, president of Planned Parenthood, joins us again. Good morning, Cecile.
Good morning. How are you?
Congratulations.
Thanks very much.
I really can't believe that you would lower yourself to go back on this show. But I can Time
Magazine. Great to be back on.
Can Time Magazine take that away from you, do you think? For
I think it's already in print, so there's not much to do at this point.
All right. All right, well, let's go for it. Well, you know, obviously we wanted to have you back on because we just were talking, I guess, a couple of weeks ago. But, you know, this really is an ongoing assault by the Republican Party on Planned Parenthood. Update us on what's happening.
Well, we had a really important vote in the United States Senate where Democrats and Republicans joined together to oppose the House leadership and their efforts to take away health services at Planned Parenthood Health Center. So actually, we had a very, very good good week, and it's sort of I actually think this Time Magazine award is a reflection of just how much support there is in this country for Planned Parenthood, of Republicans, Democrats, you know, and frankly the millions of patients that we see every year. So it's been a good couple of weeks.
Well, I mean, but I'm looking at Indiana could become the first state to end Medicaid coverage for Planned Parenthood services. I mean, like you say, this is just it's sort of an ongoing plan by Republicans. This has been one of their, you know, on their political wish list.
I know, it's incredible when you look at all the issues plaguing this country right now, with, you know, the need to get people back to work, the difficulty with the state economies. The fact that the state of Indiana would consider eliminating Planned Parenthood services, which thousands of women in Indiana receive, really makes no sense. And I know there was an article out today that shows that basically the state of Indiana would lose $4 million of federal family planning money if they prevent women from being able to go to Planned Parenthood. So I hope they're taking a second look at this, because it would make no sense. It would cost the taxpayers money, frankly, to eliminate Planned Parenthood services in Indiana. But you're right. It's part of a big assault by, I think, some extreme parts of the Republican Party, and we got to fight them back.
Cecile, did you see, you know, I think particularly, in my opinion, with how far to the right this version of the Republican Party has gone, it always is sort of almost startling and refreshing to see a Republican stand up and do the right thing on some issues. And did you see this in the Indiana Republican senator, the woman slammed her party for cutting Planned Parenthood funding?
Well, and I think that's what we are seeing. Look, we saw that in the United States Senate, where members of the Republican Party opposed the efforts by the House Republican leadership to end Planned Parenthood services, because I think they recognize, one, it's politically a terrible thing to do. The support for Planned Parenthood, it comes from all walks of life in America, and the fact that for most people in America, they see this effort to eliminate the ability of women to go to Planned Parenthood for birth control, for cancer screening, is really playing politics with women's health, and that is a very dangerous thing. We've been flooded by calls and letters. Every day I get letters from women saying, how could Congress be thinking about taking away basic access to preventive health care?
Well, and God bless her. Her name is Senator Vannetta Becker, the Republican state senator in Indiana. She noted the all-too-common hypocrisy in Republican anti-choice efforts. She said she didn't understand why legislators would take the step of reducing women's access to health service at a time when the state is cutting funding toward programs for mentally disabled children. She said, if we're so concerned about pregnancy before children are born, why are we not concerned after children are born? She also went on to say a lot of people share her view but are too intimidated by the political climate to voice their opposition. She's noting, of course, that the state and federal laws already ban abortion funding. She said the bill is an attempt to politicize the issue.
That's right. And I mean, I think what Senator Becker said is absolutely correct, which is, you know, and actually the poll, I think it's not a dangerous political position to take to support Planned Parenthood. The latest national poll showed that 2/3 of Americans oppose any efforts to eliminate funding and access to Planned Parenthood preventive care. And so I think in a state like Indiana, where we have, I think, 28 health centers where thousands of women go for basic preventive care, it's a very mainstream position to say this is care that should continue. And for folks who basically want to reduce unintended pregnancy, The thing we should be doing more of is making sure women can get affordable family planning services.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly. You know, I love that this is a Republican woman that's made these two points. She said in many areas that are rural, without these kind of services, women will be stripped of health care. She also said if our goal is to prevent abortions, we should not be proposing this. This piece of legislation will increase abortions.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, that's the real danger. You know, there's so many women in this country who face unintended pregnancy. We could be doing a lot better job. And across the country, we have more than 800 Planned Parenthood health centers, and 72% of them are either in rural America or in medically underserved communities where women may have a very difficult time getting high-quality, affordable family planning services, and that's what we're all about. You know, 3 million women or patients come to Planned Parenthood each year, and that's because they need high-quality, affordable care.
You know, it's a boy, they sure aren't helping themselves. I mean, as we talked about last time, I mean, John Kyle has obviously become a national laughing stock with his, 90% of what Planned Parenthood does is abortion. And then, you know, his spokesperson saying that wasn't intended to be a factual statement. And then I think the spokesperson came out and said, that wasn't supposed to be a factual statement. The statement talking about that. I mean, they're just a mess on their side trying to explain this away, aren't they?
Well, and of course, Senator Kyle then went back and changed the congressional record.
Changed
what he said. And I mean, look, I think that in some ways what Senator Kyle's complete misstatement actually has helped people understand the truth about Planned Parenthood,
right,
which is that 97% of our services are preventive care. And we provide more birth control, more family planning services than any organization in the country. And if he was really serious about, again, as you said, reducing unintended pregnancy or even the need for abortion, he should come and volunteer at a Planned Parenthood Health Center, because that's really the work that's happening every single day in the state of Indiana and across the country.
But, you know, the other part of this, Cecile, that as a woman I don't like is that, mm-hmm. you know, we had someone on the other day that was saying, you know, I got all of my health care at Planned Parenthood, and it felt like, I feel like people defensively have to go, I didn't get an abortion. I mean,
right.
It's mm-hmm. still a legal medical procedure between a woman and her doctor in this country. It's like to try to
That's
make
right.
people defensive about that is also, I don't think... good, you know? I mean, that's...
No, I think that's right. I mean, absolutely. And, you know, we think it's important that women can get all their reproductive health care. And I think it's... And, you know, Planned Parenthood, we're proud to provide women's reproductive health care all across the country. I think they're... But it's to me, I think what we're seeing is the same folks who want to overturn Roe versus Wade and make abortion illegal again and dangerous again in this country, they also want to get rid of birth control. Let's be honest. I mean, this mm-hmm. is not, this is a, they don't want to stop at just overturning Roe. And that was what the whole congressional fight was about. And that's frankly what's the fight in Indiana. It has nothing to do about reducing abortion in this country. It has, what the impact would be is making women unable to get basic birth control. And that's
yeah.
incredible to me. 2011. The fact that the Speaker of the House of Representatives calls the President of the United States is ready to shut down the entire federal government over whether women can get access to birth control at Planned mm-hmm. Parenthood, that's why people, frankly, are up in arms and why we've heard from so
yeah.
many folks around the country.
The misinformation just must make your head spin. Were you happen to actually be watching Fox and Friends when they said that you can get a pap smear at Walgreens?
No, but I mean, well, you know, I was wondering about that because one of the things I've been asking for folks like Congressman Pence from Indiana who wanted to eliminate women's preventive care at Planned Parenthood is like, where does he think women are going to go? The 3 million
right.
folks who come to us, obviously he thinks they're going to go to Walgreens and get mm-hmm. a pap smear. And so there's clearly a lot of misinformation in the U.S. House of Representatives about basically what women's health care is and where women get it, you know?
Yeah, it's that was stunning even for Fox. Cecile
yes,
Richards, president of Planned Parenthood, Time Magazine's, she's one of the world's 100 most influential people. Congratulations on that, and thanks as always for your time.
Stephanie, thanks for having me.
All right, we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay.
All right. You know, unfortunately, we'll have to talk to her again soon because these asshats are going to keep it up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And we don't have an abortion problem. We have an unwanted pregnancy problem and an abortion symptom.
Yep.
Yep.
No, John is still with us. Good. Yeah.
Oh,
yes,
good.
I
John,
am. The building's not completely
said,
on fire yet.
You smell smoke in the New York Bureau. What's?
I went to the men's room and I smelled smoke, and then I came back in and there was smoke everywhere and everyone was smelling it. And now I don't hear anything, but they may have all left the building and kept me.
Oh, wow. Because you're in a soundproof booth.
Yeah, I am getting kind of sleepy.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Oh, no. You know what? I bet it's the same right-winger that tried to bribe our tour director to stop booking the Sexy Liberal to show.
It could be. There's smoke everywhere. My clothes smell like Mickey Rourke.
Wow. Burn them now.
Yeah, they're trying to smoke us out. But, yeah, they really did. Jim, did you hear this? They tried to bribe our...
Yes.
Our
should read that letter.
It's rolling the booker. It's incredible.
Wait, when we come back, I'll find it. It's literally a right-winger tried to bribe him with $10,000 to stop booking the Sexy Liberal.
It wasn't intended to be a factual bribe.
Yeah. Yeah. 44 minutes after the hour, right back with the remaining moments, we think.
That's
right. It's fire drill with Fugelsang.
Yeah. If he doesn't burn in a fiery... Yeah.
The final minutes for real, y'all.
Oh, God.
Right back.
I hope Aisha's free tomorrow.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What's all that noise?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Say you want a revolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world.
Oh, John Fugelsang's still here. Good.
Yay.
George Harrison on guitar, man. What a great song.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
49 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Fridays with Fugelsang. John is in the smoky New York bureau of the Stephanie Miller Incorporated. All right.
For as long as the building still stands.
Yeah, I'm telling you, there's a conspiracy against Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show. This just in. I'll read it again.
Yep. They're trying to shut us down.
Well, it hasn't even started yet. It starts tomorrow in Madison. But anyway, it's, you know, there's nothing apparently that makes right-wingers' head explode, John, than liberals doing well at capitalism. That is just a bridge too far for them. I won't say name. I don't know if it's his real name anyway. But so Roland is our tour director, and he gets this letter yesterday. I love this. It's the tour right-wingers don't want you to see. Roland, I know your reputation from your booking days at William Morris, and I think you're making a mistake in working on this Sexy Liberal tour. It's not worth your time and effort. Your time is worth more. I know someone who will pay you $10,000 if you stop booking the show immediately. Reply to this email and let me know if you're interested. Signed, a friend.
I think you should hold out for $1 million.
And a couple of friggin' sharks, Roland. Come on.
$1 million.
Hilarious.
It's the show the conservatives don't want you to see.
It doesn't even exist yet.
It doesn't even exist yet.
Sex Pistols did their first tour, their manager would write angry letters to all the local papers protesting this horrible band, and they were packed every night.
That's
I'm going to start getting some Tea Partiers to protest us.
I mean, really, 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 thank you. It's selling out everywhere, much to our shock. And surprise, Boston, in about 9 minutes, we go on sale in Boston.
Yep.
Shano had the wrong date. He apologizes.
Progressives of Boston, does your heart yearn for Stephanie Miller?
Please come to Boston.
Well, weep no longer, because the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show World Tour is coming to Boston, Massachusetts. The city Michelle Bachman calls the home of the Liberty Bell. On July 16th, at the Wilbur Theater, renew the spirit of the original Tea Party with the comic brilliance of John Fugelsang, Al Sparks, and Mama herself, Stephanie Miller. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com by calling Ticketmaster at 800-745-3000 or by going to the Wilbur Theater box office at 246 Tremont Street in Boston's historic theater district.
I can see Boston from my house.
Progressive fans, this is your teabagger cure, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show in Boston.
This calls for a sexy party.
It's a sexy, huh?
Yeah, all right. Thank you, Shano.
Everyone knows the Liberty Bell is in Philadelphia, New Hampshire.
Oh, boy. John, we had a few go-to meetings. We did reject. What did we reject? Stephanie Miller's Kwanzaa thong.
That didn't test well with the focus groups.
Stephanie Miller's violent torpedo of fart jokes. That didn't.
Mm-hmm. No, that didn't. That did very well with Detroit. But.
Coolio, oh my gosh, Coolio just played Minneapolis, where going, yes. He says he's the black Charlie Sheen. He apparently, he had a drunken, incoherent sexual tirade at the lounge. He forgot the
words. Charlie Sheen doesn't smack his kids.
Is there any other kind of tirade from Coolio?
He forgot the words to his hit Gangsta's Paradise and announced, "I'm the Black Charlie Sheen." He then proceeded to proposition women in the audience in obscenely unprintable terms. Is that something to aspire to? To be the Black Charlie Sheen?
Okay. Are you going to proposition women in the audience?
Sure. I never get out of my house. I'm going crazy.
I hope it doesn't hurt Coolio's cooking show.
Oh, Squeezy, this one's for you. Mm-hmm. Celebrity stag for you. Terry Hatcher has a medical condition that makes it impossible for her to unhook her bra.
Oh, really?
Huh?
That creates a full-time job, it seems.
All right.
So do high school boys.
Yeah, all high school boys have that.
How do you...
But I can bench 250. Why can't I do this? I got carpal tunnel from unhooking bra.
That's the advantage of being a girl. I can do it in about a half a second.
Yeah.
Carpal tunnel is third base, isn't it?
she revealed she has a medical condition called frozen shoulder, which has...
Huh?
Yeah.
Frozen.
That exists?
So let me warm that up for you.
You'll have to do a little massage unhook her bra until she's able to do it herself, Jim. Mm-hmm.
I have frozen laugh reflex from watching Desperate Housewives. Kenzo, Chris Patterson writes, since both Madison shows will have more attendees than our recent Tea Party rally, will you have a sexy liberal jumbotron?
Oh.
We didn't do a whole lot of planning for this, so let's look. I don't know.
Yeah, so
we've been offered $10,000 not to have a jumbotron.
You don't know what's going on? Okay. Is a script written or anything?
No.
Come on. We're just showing up.
All right.
Material.
Oh, it's Squeezy Stacks part two. Why women's breasts are getting bigger, Jim. This might be a study.
What?
I think I know.
Women in Britain welcome the arrival of the L cup. There's an L cup?
L what?
What was my old producer? You remember?
36 Triple D.
Oh, you guys have a photographic memory for
that.
Well, they were big.
She once lifted up her shirt and pressed them up against the glass. Mm-hmm. So I saw them.
Who are we talking about?
You don't know her. Okay.
Yeah.
It's an old producer we had.
Yeah.
L cup. It's a lingerie label for larger side breasts. One tends to wonder what's causing women's breasts to grow larger. This is, I guess, not that sexy. The professor said we're experiencing an obesity epidemic.
Well,
so it's
it's also it's hormones
hormones.
It's chicken and beef to make the animals fat. And strangely enough, when you eat the animals, you'll get bigger. And also there's estrogen mimicking pesticides and all sorts of things that increase estrogen in men and women.
So that's why my boobs have been getting big.
Yes.
It's a big breast where it's not
that
sexy.
On the steroids,
sorry.
But,
I saved the Obama naysaying story for the end. Did you see this? This just annoys me. Sorry. A woman wearing a T-shirt supporting WikiLeaks suspect Bradley Manning interrupted President Obama with a song while he was speaking.
A lot of
speaking.
People did. Yeah.
Yes, however, Julie in Seattle sends this stuff. Somehow I doubt we'll hear, okay, that seems positive. Thanks, Commander-in-Chief Obama, for noting our criticisms and seeing that it was taken care of for many of the Obama naysaying Bradley Manning parrots. As you can see, Manning has the benefit of an attorney and access to the courts to challenge the conditions of his confinement. He was moved to, from Quantico to Fort Leavenworth.
Yep.
But
did Obama have something to do with that?
Well, all I'm saying is it's just one of those things that people...
Well, it's
he can't
important.
Do anything. Okay.
I mean, Daniel Ellsberg says that people who give comfort to the enemy are the people who sent troops, I'm talking about Al-Qaeda. Bradley Manning is acting in the interest of the United States and against the interests of Al-Qaeda. There's a campaign here against whistleblowing that's actually unprecedented in legal terms. And that's right. I mean, there's nothing he did that I know of that damaged national security.
Yeah, but,
it was embarrassing.
It
was embarrassing when he showed that these...
Okay.
It is okay. It's necessary. I mean, whistleblowers have to be protected. It's not the same as the Valerie Plame thing.
It's
was a political
stunt. It's the leaking
of
classified information that could hurt American interests.
It was classified for the wrong reasons. It was classified because people are embarrassed
by the fact... you're not in charge of what's classified or not.
I'm staying out of this on a Friday Friday morning.
Yeah. Told President Obama, I'm ending on a happy story. I don't care.
Thank you. Good.
Told that President Obama is set to attend the launch of the space shuttle, skippered by her husband. Gabrielle Giffords said just one word, awesome. She smiled broadly and said, awesome.
Very cool.
She's improving as well, I'm told, which is very exciting.
Hopefully she'll be there for her.
Yeah, for the launch. Yeah, of her husband's.
Bradley Manning won't be.
No, he won't.
Let's try to open it up again.
You know what Fugle's saying?
Uh-oh.
I've got Aisha Tyler on speed dial.
She's going to cut you.
All right.
Good Friday's a good time to remember if there was no death penalty, Jesus might still be here. Happy Easter, kids.
That's yay! Right. Yeah. From the ecclesiastical
Good Friday. I'll be the judge of that.
Yeah, we're going to see how that goes.
I feel like I've been dead for 3 days.
All right. Fuglesang, the website is johnfuglesang.com?
So far.
Yes. All right. Indeed. And we will all see you, John Fuglesang, Hal Sparks, and I, for the world premiere of the Sexy Liberal Show in Madison, Wisconsin tomorrow night. We can't wait. There may be, I don't know if there's still tickets left for the late show.
Maybe.
But go to BarrymoreLive.com. Yeah. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Chris Lavoie, voice deity, Jim Ward, associate producer, Rebecca Taylor. We will see you Monday on The Stephanie Miller Show.